ask you quickly, there's the reason why we sang Amazing Grace. Who was the writer of Amazing Grace? John Newton. Do any one of you know what was his previous occupation? A slave trader. Well, if you have your Bibles, I want you to draw swords. You know, Romans chapter 1, verse 1. You can go to the passage. If you get it, wait for me. I will read it. But I want you to go. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Go. I will read it. Thank you very much. So you're looking at the book of Romans. I had the privilege of studying the book of Romans a few weeks ago, and I've been greatly encouraged by the Apostle Paul. Let's read, and we're just going to, for the sake of time, read one verse. I'm reading out of the ESV translation. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. Thank you, until that's the reading of God's word. In Romans 1 verse 1, we found Paul's credentials, which tell us more about him as the author of the book of Romans. Paul is a bondservant. In fact, this is not the best translation. Some translations will use the word slave, and that's a much better translation. He's the doulos, a slave of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. Notice that the first thing of Paul's pen is to describe himself as a slave of Jesus Christ. I want to just explain briefly the Roman Empire at that stage. There's a reason why Paul associates as a slave. At least in that time, 50% of the population were slaves. So, someone with a Greek and Roman worldview would picture a man or a woman in an auction block being sold to the highest bidder. When Paul claims this of himself, he actually sees it as a positive thing. He doesn't see it as a negative thing. He thinks of himself, and first and foremost, as a slave of Jesus Christ. Often when we introduce ourselves, we speak about ourselves positively so that people will value us. Paul's primary form of identification is that he is someone who has been bought by another, by Jesus Christ. He is the property of the Lord Jesus. Now that's amazing in and of itself. But it's even more amazing when you consider who Paul used to be. His life's work was previously dedicated to stamping out Christianity. This man who hated Christ and Christians is now gladly owning himself as a slave, a doulos of Jesus Christ. Obviously, it's only the grace of God that can do that in a person's life. Being a slave in the Roman Empire meant that you had a hard life. You will suffer. You had no rights, only many responsibilities as a slave. Notice that Paul says he's an apostle set apart for the gospel of God. Calling himself a slave involves who he belongs to, but calling himself an apostle of Christ involves the role that he has been given. You are not called to be an apostle. No one of us are called to be an apostle. But you have also been given a very important call and role. You too have been called to preach the gospel and make disciples of all nations. The Great Commission is a command to every believer. It's a call to obey. We read in Romans 6, verse 16 to 18, do you not know that if you present yourself to anyone as obedient slaves, you are a slave of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that you were once slaves of sin, but became obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which we were committed. Having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I want to encourage you. You know, Paul is also warning as we read his epistles, as we read the book of Romans. Why is he right? He said people will fall away from the faith. That's obvious. Maybe some of you one day will fall away. We're going to stick to God's word. This is our authority. And God encourages us from this. If we cannot be encouraged by this, nothing will encourage us, people. Nothing. That's why we stick to this. I want to say, this is a hard life. Paul is a slave, you know. I could have started this morning by reading what Paul went through. And he said, that is nothing if I compare the glory that I one day will have with my Creator. I also want to tell you, you know, maybe you want to give up this morning, you know, 6:30 push-ups. It's nothing compared to what we saw last night. It's nothing compared to what the people face in the Nuba Mount. Nothing. You can do it. You know, I don't need to get up and say it's Christ who strengthens me. That people really needs Christ to strengthen us. We must be disciplined. We must. You know? Otherwise you'll not make it. But you know, to get back to Daniel de Villiers' question that he asked, you know, have God forgotten us? I think one of the greatest gifts, if not the greatest gift, when Jesus went up to heaven, he made a promise. I will send the Helper, the Comforter. If you don't know who that is, the Holy Spirit. And He will be with you until the end of the age. You know, when that people is facing that persecution, the encouragement, as Jesus said, the Holy Spirit is with them. That was the encouragement for Richard Wurmbrand. You know, when you're facing struggles, have you prayed about it or you just give up? We cannot just give up. I want you to notice further in Romans 6 verse 16. Now Paul contrasts being a slave of Christ with being a slave of unrighteousness. As a slave of Christ, you have been bought with a high price. With a very high price. I want to make it clear. God became man to reconcile you to Himself if you are a Christian. And if you're not a Christian this morning, you're an enemy of God. And God said in the Psalm 7 verse 11, He's angry with you every day. He's angry with the wicked every day, the Bible say. If you're a Christian, you must submit to the Master. For He's a loving Master. He showed us His love while we were sinners. Christ died for us. I mean, if you're a Christian, you need to lay down your life. As a Christian, you are not called for the advancement of your own kingdom. You're called for the advancement of God's kingdom. His kingdom advanced through the preaching of the gospel. Are you set apart for the gospel? Is your passion to preach the gospel? Is your passion to make disciples of all nations? Or is your passion to get a career, to get money, to have a good retirement? You know that your children will be looked after. That's destroying our country. Have destroyed America. The future, money, and not God. I have a love for you guys. But I do realize you are young. And my heart's burden is that you'll set your life apart for God. That God may work for you. And that the nations, wherever you are, and the people that we are, where you are, that they might come to know that there is a God in heaven that rules. And His people is different than the people of the world. I hope so. Let me pray. I'm going to end earlier. They asked me for the sake of we're going to have a lecture via Skype. So let me pray. Let's bow our heads. Our Lord and our God. Thank you that we can be called children of you. And thank you that my sin is paid for in full. Thank you that I will not have the just punishment that I need for my sin. But Lord Jesus, you were justly punished. And Father, I come again this morning on the 6th of January 2020 and I surrender my life to you. And I pray that you'll use me and conform me to the image of your Son. And Father, that you will make me useful for your kingdom. And Father, that you make me obedient to your word. And I pray this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.